The water is gray in the early morning light, and it is too still. You notice it before you are even fully awake. The surface should be broken by the movement of 38 juveniles working the bottom, but there is no movement at all. There is only a slow, terrible drift. You are already walking faster when you reach the tote, and then you stop. They are at the surface, all of them. Pressed against the walls, clustered at the corners, pale bodies tilted sideways, legs still cycling in the thin reflex rhythm that means the process is almost done, but not quite finished. 38 Macrobrachium rosenbergii, every one of them under an inch long, every one of them dead or nearly there. The morning is quiet and the air pump is silent because you turned it off the night before to save on the electric bill. You reach for the mesh net hanging on the fence post. You pick it up. You hold it over water. You cannot do anything with anymore, and you do not move for a long time. Two are still alive. One is hanging at the filter outlet where a thin thread of surface agitation is still breaking the water. The other has wedged itself into the narrow gap between the filter housing and the wall of the tote, a space barely an inch across, pressed in so tight you almost miss it entirely. You note it. You move past it. This is first-time freshwater backyard prawn farming on a budget, and this is the moment it either teaches you or breaks you. It broke me for about 2 weeks. Then it taught me everything worth knowing. That morning cost $40 in livestock, a full weekend of setup work, and the specific kind of confidence that does not come back quickly once you have stood at a tank full of dead animals you were responsible for. I want you to sit with that before we talk about a single piece of equipment, because the equipment means nothing if the foundation underneath it is wrong. And the foundation is not the container or the filter or the heater. The foundation is understanding what this animal actually requires, not what seems reasonable, not what looks ready, but what the biology of a warm water crustacean demands from its water every single minute of every single day. The giant river prawn, Macrobrachium rosenbergii, on the invoice, and you want to know that name because every reputable supplier and every credible research document will use it, is one of the most productive aquaculture animals available at the backyard scale. In a warm climate with the right setup, it grows from juvenile to harvestable size in 6 to 9 months. It is excellent table food. The economics work for a small operator in a way that larger species often do not. But it is not a forgiving animal. A chicken survives a missed morning feeding. A row of beans survives a dry week. A prawn is living inside its water the way you live inside your air. Every parameter shift, every equipment failure, every shortcut is happening to the animal's body in real time with no buffer and no grace period. Getting this right on a budget means building around that reality from the first day, not discovering it the morning after your first loss. So here is what your money actually buys and exactly why it matters. A 100-gallon plastic storage tote from any hardware or big box store, $30 to $40, is your best first container. It holds a real working crop, it is manageable alone, and when you make the mistake you will almost certainly make in your first season, the scale of that loss stays small. A 275-gallon IBC tote, food grade, available used for $80 to $100, is the next step up. Either works. What you are specifically avoiding as a first-timer is starting at a scale where early errors become catastrophic. Big systems give big numbers in both directions. Your filtration needs to be rated for the volume you are running. A hang-on back or canister model in the $30 to $50 range is sufficient for a beginner tote. Your air pump needs enough output to drive 2 to 3 air stones for your tank size. And once you plug that pump in, you leave it running, not on a timer, not on a schedule, continuously, through the hot afternoons, through the still nights, through every hour when you are not watching. Dissolved oxygen depletion is the fastest moving killer in a warm water prawn system, and it does its worst work between midnight and 6 in the morning when water temperature is holding high and nobody is outside to see what the surface looks like. The timer costs you nothing to remove from the circuit. Leave it out. A heater capable of holding your water between 78 and 82 degrees Fahrenheit is non-negotiable for this species. Pair it with a digital clip-on thermometer, under $10, because the dial calibration on budget heaters drifts and you need to know what the water is actually reading, not what the dial is claiming. For water testing, buy a liquid-based multi-parameter kit. The API Master Test Kit runs about $25, covers ammonia, nitrite, nitrate, and pH, and will last you through multiple grow cycles. Do not use paper strip tests. The margins you are working within are narrow enough that imprecise readings are simply expensive guessing, dressed up as data. The piece of equipment most beginners skip entirely is hiding structure, and that omission will quietly drain your survival rate through every molt cycle without announcing itself clearly as the cause. When a prawn sheds its exoskeleton to grow a larger one, it is completely defenseless for several hours, soft-bodied, slow-moving, and emitting a chemical signal that the other animals in the tank register as vulnerability. Cannibalism during molting is not pathological aggression. It is normal opportunistic behavior that you control entirely through structure. Cut plastic bird netting into 12-inch sections. Roll each piece into a tube 3 to 4 inches in diameter. Zip-tie the ends. Place 8 to 10 of them throughout the tank at different angles, vertical, diagonal, near the bottom and mid-column both, under $5 in materials. That structure changes your survival rate across a full grow season more reliably than almost any other single item on this list, and it costs less than a cup of coffee per tube. I did not understand that on the first build. I understood it after a second grow cycle, where my water was clean, my oxygen was stable, my numbers were holding, and I was still losing one or two animals every week and finding the evidence the next morning. Empty shell, body nearby, and 2 days of second-guessing the water chemistry that was never the problem. It took almost a full cycle to see it clearly. The molt was not killing them. The exposure after the molt was, I built the structure in before the third grow, and the pattern stopped. I have thought about that inch-wide gap beside the filter housing more than once since that first morning. Now the part that most beginner guides cover in two paragraphs and move past, because it demands patience rather than purchases, and patience is harder to explain compellingly than a gear list. Your tank must complete a full nitrogen cycle before a single prawn enters the water. This is not a recommendation. It is the biological threshold, below which stocking is just a more expensive way to lose animals. Here is what that process looks like. You run your equipment, filter, air pump, heater, in a full tank of dechlorinated water with no animals present. Every 2 to 3 days, you add a small ammonia source. A pinch of fish food is sufficient to feed the bacterial colony that is beginning to establish itself on your filter media and substrate. You test the water every 2 to 3 days, and you write the numbers down. Ammonia will climb first, sometimes sharply. Nitrite will follow behind it as the first bacterial population converts the ammonia. Then when the second bacterial population matures, nitrite will fall. When you test on the same morning, and both ammonia and nitrite read zero, not low, not trace, zero, with a measurable nitrate reading appearing as the byproduct, your tank is cycled. That is your green light, not clear water, not a week of running time, not a feeling. Zero on both counts, simultaneously, on the same test. That threshold is the line between a tank that looks ready and a system that is actually safe. My tank had been running for 4 days when I stocked that first batch. The water was clear, the surface was still. It looked exactly like readiness, and it was nowhere close. When your juveniles arrive, float the transport bag in your tank water for 30 minutes, gradually introduce small amounts of tank water to the bag across that window, then release the animals slowly. Stock no more than one prawn per 10 to 20 gallons in a 100-gallon tote, that is 5 to 10 animals, fewer than you want, precisely what the biology supports. Overcrowding spikes ammonia, accelerates oxygen demand, and intensifies aggression in a species that is already territorial. You will regret starting dense. Nobody has ever regretted starting conservative. Feed a quality sinking pellet formulated for shrimp or bottom-feeding species, offer only what is consumed in 90 minutes, and remove anything uneaten before it begins breaking down. Excess feed rotting on your substrate is an ammonia source working directly against the stability your cycle is maintaining. Test your water every morning for the first month and log the numbers, not to check for problems, but to build the pattern recognition that lets you see a problem forming before it arrives. Ammonia and nitrite hold at zero in a healthy cycled system. If either reads above zero, do a 20% water change immediately using dechlorinated water within 2 degrees of your tank temperature. Change 20 to 30% of your water weekly as a standing practice, not a response to bad numbers, but a scheduled habit regardless of what the test shows. Siphon substrate debris at each change. Never clean all of your filter media in the same session. Rinse only half of it in saved tank water to protect the bacterial colony that is doing the water chemistry work your animals depend on. Walk out to your tank at 10 o'clock at night. Look at where your animals are. Note it. Prawns distributed across the substrate, moving with direction and purpose, that is healthy. Prawns drifting near the surface, pressing the walls, working slowly along the waterline, that is the signal I want you to know by name before you ever see it. Which brings me back to the gap. and to what I actually saw on those two evenings before everything went wrong. When Macrobrachium rosenbergii cluster at the water's surface and move slowly along the walls, they are not curious. They are not adjusting to a new environment. They are executing a physiological distress response, moving their bodies toward the zone in the water column where dissolved oxygen concentration is highest, right at the air-water interface, because the water below them has fallen below the threshold their respiratory system can sustain. It is the same instinct that drives any animal toward air when air is running out. Surface clustering is the warning sign. It appears before the crash, not during it, and if you know what it means, you still have time. That prawn in the inch-wide gap beside the filter housing survived the same night that killed 38 others because it had found the one point in a failing system where maximum water movement and maximum surface agitation were still happening. The filter return current running right through that gap, breaking the surface just enough to hold a pocket of viable oxygen while everything else in the tank went dark. It did not reason its way there. It followed instinct to vertical structure near the highest flow zone available. The bird netting tubes you build for molt protection serve double duty. When you position them near your aeration points, they give your animals both the physical refuge and the oxygen proximity that their biology already knows to seek when conditions shift. That small, overlooked animal told me something I did not have the vocabulary for yet. I have been applying it ever since. That net is still on the fence post at the edge of my patio. I leave it there between harvests on purpose. The weight you feel in it at the end of a successful grow season is the accumulated result of every morning test, every night check, every weekly water change done on schedule, whether the numbers looked good or not. It is the result of the cycling patience no one wants to sell you because it takes 3 weeks and costs nothing. It is the result of knowing that clear water and ready water are two completely different things, and understanding which one you are actually holding before you make a decision that cannot be undone. So here is where I want to leave you. That first morning, 38 dead at the surface, the air pump silent, the net in your hand was entirely preventable. Every cause had a warning. Every warning had a window. The question I keep coming back to is this. If you had walked out the evening before and seen those prawns pressing the walls and drifting near the waterline, would you have known what they were trying to tell you? Or would you have decided they were just getting used to the space? Drop that answer in the comments, because I think it splits right down the middle, and I think which side you land on says everything about how your first season ends.